When Afghan war commander General Stanley McChrystal was fired for insults hurled at civilian leaders quoted in a Rolling Stone article, President Obama made the point that he was terminating the man while retaining his counterinsurgency strategy. This shakeup in the Afghan war command comes as the number of U.S.-NATO soldiers killed in June was the highest seen since the start of the war in 2001. The Senate Armed Services Committee voted to approve General Petraeus as the president's choice to succeed General McChrystal as a U.S.-Afghan war commander, with the full Senate expected to quickly confirm him. During the Senate hearing, General Petraeus said he was considering reversing rules of engagement, restricting the use of heavier firepower that were originally implemented to reduce the number of Afghan civilian casualties. While the general said that President Obama's July 2011 deadline for the start of withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan was only the beginning of a process, there is increasing skepticism that U.S. troops would actually start coming home by next summer. Some in Congress are moving to tie future funding for the war with a firm withdrawal date. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with former CIA analyst Melvin Goodman, whose recent article is titled "The Pentagon's Threat to the Republic." Here, he expresses concern about the conflicts between America's military and civilian leadership seen in the McChrystal firing and the larger issue of maintaining civilian control of the Pentagon as the Afghan war continues in an uncertain direction.
Obama took the only action he could take. I can't imagine any other action than to fire McChrystal as the commander in Afghanistan. And today, McChrystal announced he was leaving the Army after 30-some years. But given the kind of challenge it represented and the total disdain that McChrystal and his staff had for the civilian leadership of the government, I think this was seen as a challenge to civilian control and leadership, as it should have been seen. So I think the firing was correct. The only problem that I think Obama has now created is that in appointing Petraeus and moving Petraeus up to this incredibly high plateau, he has actually enhanced the political power of the military. And this could become an obstacle to the president's exercise of civilian control, I think, in the near term, because Petraeus now will have a great deal of credibility, influence, and power within the administration as someone who will be testifying to Congress on a regular basis. And what Obama has done in firing McChrystal is saying this is a problem with this particular individual, it's not a problem of policy, when really at the heart of all of this is the fact that there is no real policy. Counterinsurgency is not being practiced very effectively, and I can't think of one example in history when a counterinsurgency has been successful when the enemy, in this case the Taliban, enjoyed a sanctuary, such as the Taliban does in Pakistan. And then when you look at counterinsurgency campaigns generally, they take on average 13 years, the few that have been successful. Now, you could say, well, we've been in Afghanistan since 2001, so that's 9 years, but the fact of the matter is we've only been fighting this counterinsurgency warfare for two. And I don't think the American people have the stomach, or should have the stomach, for another 11 years of fighting against the Taliban. I think it was very interesting to hear Leon Panetta, the CIA director, on national television yesterday, quoting the figure of 50 to 100 as the number of Al-Qaeda members in Afghanistan. My own sources tell me that that's even an overstatement, that it's probably a figure that's under 50. So now we have 100,000 troops in Afghanistan looking for 50 Al-Qaeda agents. I mean, the policy is out of control. It's hard to explain or to rationalize. And I think the military, when you look at the Rolling Stone article, which I've read, is also out of control. And this is where you get to some of the culture issues that I wrote about based on my 18 years at the National War College and my 3 years in the U.S. Army.
Mel Goodman, there's some people who thought President Obama should not have fired McChrystal, dismissing some of what was said in the Rolling Stone article as just locker room talk and not to be taken seriously. But you you do take it very seriously in terms of the kinds of comments made by General McChrystal about his superiors and civilian control that goes really to the heart of the U.S. Constitution in terms of who really is in charge of the U.S. military. You want to expand on that a bit?
Exactly. It goes back to what the Founding Fathers wanted for the United States. And it really goes back to what is one of the most important tasks in political governance, which is to make sure that civilians retain control over the military. So when I picked up the New York Times and saw David Brooks, who minimized McChrystal's remarks as kvetching, And even Maureen Dowd referred to McChrystal and his smart aleck aides as engaging in towel-snapping jocularity. I realize these people don't even understand what's at stake here. The Washington Post's editorial board wanted to keep on McChrystal. I thought he shouldn't be fired, and they quoted Karzai, Afghan President Karzai, as calling McChrystal the best commander of the war, as if Karzai has become some kind of analyst of U.S. military leaders. So they have not taken this seriously, but this is the fundamental issue of civilian supremacy in military policy and decision-making. Now, Obama here has actually been part of the problem, not part of the solution. He has clearly shown signs of being intimidated by the military. In fact, McChrystal even said he thought that Obama was intimidated in his meeting with him that took place after his insubordination in London in October when he was summoned to meet with the president and showed up in his combat fatigues. Well, anyone who's been around the military knows firsthand that that was an act of disrespect right on the face of it. But again, if you go back in the history of this country and why those people who left Europe didn't want to see another anarchic system and why they put so much power, particularly on war, in the hands of the Congress and not in the president, clearly made, though, the president the commander in chief. And I think this is what's being threatened by a military class that has become a professional military class, almost like a Prussian military arrangement, going back to Richard Nixon's abolishing of the draft during Vietnam as a deal with middle-class families who would stop protesting the war once they knew their children wouldn't be drafted into this war. None of this is good for the country. The only thing that would be good for the country is if this led to a real debate on the war and the futility of the war. So it's time to get serious about this drain on our resources, our loss of life, our loss of influence around the world, the weakening of the American position internationally, the weakening of the American position at home because we can't afford to do the things we need to do because we have a $700 billion defense budget that will continue to grow and grow. And that budget now is sacrosanct as we look for cuts in all other areas of government. Somehow the defense budget has been given some special standing. So it's all quite alarming to me.
That was former CIA analyst Mel Goodman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and adjunct professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His latest book is titled Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA.